All right, if you got your Bibles, please open them up. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 is where we're going to be today. And I'm going to talk to you today, and we're going to unpack, God willing, in Paul's passage here, Galatians 4. We'll talk about, are you a slave or a child? Are you a slave or a child? I'm going to say it a third time. Are you a slave or a child? Galatians 4, please stand with me if you're able to. Slave or child? We're going to start by reading from verse 1, Galatians 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Verse 7, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Please pray with me. Father in heaven, oh Lord, help us to remember that you are our Heavenly Father. You've adopted us. We're no longer living in fear and in bondage under the law. Lord, through Jesus Christ, you have given us, God, you've given us this freedom, this liberation. Father, you are now our Heavenly Father. We can cry out to you because you've placed your Holy Spirit within us because of Christ Jesus, your Son, our Messiah, our Savior. You live within us. You want to bring an intimacy, a closeness. We're not your slaves. We're your children, your sons and daughters. We can cry out to you. We can talk to you. We call you Daddy, Abba, Father. Help us, Lord. Restore and soften our hearts that we can remember who you are. You are a God that says he is love. We can remember that you love us. We can remember that you are a Father of mercies. We can remember that you're a God of all comfort. You want to comfort us in our pain. You want to heal us from the hurts. Whatever those things are, Lord, we still have open wounds. You want to heal them so they become scars. And we believe that scars tell a story, just like the scars of Jesus. You'll give us testimonies, but we need healing from you. And Jesus, Isaiah 61, verse 1, like we read earlier, prophesied of you, Messiah, coming to heal the brokenhearted. So help us, Lord. We don't want to be like the Galatians. We want to be walking with you, empowered by your Spirit, as Christians in this new covenant time, no longer going back to the past, no longer living like a slave, but like your sons and daughters. My Father, empower us, we ask. We beg, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. So slave or child, slave or child. I looked this up that when you are going through the adoption process, here's what actually happens. There's a permanent transfer of all the parental rights and responsibilities over to the adoptive parents. Your old biological ties to your old life, they're completely severed. They're completely severed. The adoption results in a new birth certificate. I like how that says even in English. It results in a new birth certificate that will list the adoptive parents as a child's legal parents now. So that adoptive parent is now responsible for you. Your original birth certificate gets replaced by this new document. And the picture of adoption is what you and I are going to learn here as we continue. Going out of chapter 3, now into chapter 4, it's that same picture that Paul's going to teach us about, this picture of adoption. You and I are going to learn, as Paul tells us, what happened when you and I went through this adoption process. You went through this with the Heavenly Father. And my guess, my prayers, what really burdens my heart, is that some of you perhaps might need prayer and healing for that today. So we might know it and read it and study it here intellectually. You might know that the scriptures say, oh, I've been adopted. Oh, he's my father. I know he is. Our Father who art in heaven. I've been saying that since I was a kid. But I might not know it here. I might be still bound by the past. So even as our titles we're looking at, are you a slave or a child? Through Jesus Christ, the Heavenly Father has adopted you and I. He's now your Father, a Heavenly Father. According to Scripture, who was your father? Not physical father, but who was your father spiritually or even emotionally before the Heavenly Father adopted you? According to the Bible, who was that? The devil, the father of lies, Satan. Now, you say that to certain people today, even Christians that have a Bible but don't read the Bible, never been taught by the Bible, they get offended. Hey, never my daddy. Oh, yes, he was. Now you're calling Jesus a liar. And that's the Word of God. Okay, God's Word. We learn that Satan was actually their father. And then what happens? You go through the adoptive process. That old birth certificate, gone. It's replaced now by a new legal document. I love this. I learned this recently. When you actually study what happens in the United States, if you were to go through the adoption process, either as the adopted child or the adoptive parent, these are some of the things that happen. And I love how God uses someone like Paul to tap into this. Now, this meant something way back then, of course. We're not going to get into that too much in depth and detail today of what it meant culturally. You could look up a lot of this. But it's interesting and I believe important to know this. Because why? Because you and I are no longer slaves, but you and I are children. I like this picture even. Jesus in the background. Okay, are you a slave or his child? Some of you need to be liberated, freed. Now, this is not going to be a healing service. I can hear what might happen across the nation. Okay, but we want to pray that those of you, I know it's going to be at least some of you, if not one. Someone here needs prayer for this today. So I just want to prep you. We're going to go through the Word, and the Spirit of God, with you as a child of God, who use his Word to convict your heart. Some of you here need prayer for this, I believe. So you can leave those things in the past. I'm no longer a slave, but Father in heaven, you are my child. Help me to move forward. And we can pray for you that you can get a healing, a clarity. So you're no longer a slave, but through Jesus Christ, you're adopted into the family of God. That's why I love this family here, too. A lot of us are very close, especially in the servant team. We're very close with one another. I love that. We're now adopted. We're now God's child. Satan's no longer dad. I think about that, too. The father of lies, what was he doing? Lying to you. And all the parental rights and responsibilities that the devil once had over us, they've now been permanently transferred over to your Heavenly Father. Permanently. Don't go back, is what Paul is saying to the Galatians. And I believe the Good Shepherd wants me to say, as his under-shepherd for him here to you, his people, don't go back. Don't live in the past. Don't go back. God has now become your Father. And now your Heavenly Father owns the rights and responsibilities over your life. But you have to choose, don't you? He owns the rights and responsibilities, but is Jesus Lord? If he's not Lord, I remember learning this from Greg Laurie decades ago, and it rings true. I still remember this. He's either Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. You know that as a born-again Christian. You walk with him, keep giving things over. Okay, God, I give this over to you with tears and much agony and pain. And an hour later, it's like, wait a minute. You mean you've got more work to do? Fixing up this old house? So he keeps unearthing junk from the past, right? The Holy Spirit's going to reveal junk in your heart, even in the past. Why? Because you're still holding on to it. Maybe as a lie that you believed, and you brought it down into your heart, and now it's messed you up emotionally. And now you're making emotional decisions. And you're wondering, like Paul writes in Romans chapter 7, those things that I should do, I end up not doing. And the things that I shouldn't do, I end up doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Right? That's us. So your Heavenly Father now owns the rights and responsibilities over your life. Allow Him to control your life. Stop looking to go back to the past. That's what we're going to learn about here. So your old ties to your own life, they've been completely severed. And now, because of this, we're told over and over and over and over and over again through the New Testament, you got to die to the past, die to the old things, and now you got to move forward by faith, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, put on the new way. Repent from the old. If you don't, you cannot ever move forward, right? Think about that. You're still chained. You can't reach forward because you're chained. You're enslaved. So you got to let go of that so you can move forward. You ever hear the story of the man that wants to catch a monkey? And they hollow out a little hole in a coconut. And you put some little tidbit, some food inside the coconut. And the coconut hole is just big enough to get the monkey's hand in. Some of you know. And the monkey grabs that. But the problem is, when he wants to go, it's like, oh no, I got this coconut on my hand. It'll sit there and supposedly bang, clang, clang, could probably hit the tree. Get this off. What's going on? Bang, bang, bang. And it's just going to alert everybody to where that monkey is. And it can't run away. It's got this big old coconut hanging off its hand. Don't you know that's a picture of us, right? Don't be a monkey. You got to sometimes just let go of that thing that tempted you to remain trapped. Enslaved, a prisoner, so you could be free. It's a great picture, a great illustration. Jesus wants to liberate us and set us free. Amen? He wants to do that. I believe He's wanting to do heart surgery here today with some of you. So we need to put off those old ways and walk in the newness of life through Jesus Christ. You had a new birth, just like you get a new birth certificate when you're adopted. You actually get a new birth certificate. I didn't know that. Now, it's logical, makes sense, but if you're getting adopted, you get a new birth certificate, a new document, a new legal document that says, no, 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 ties of the past are severed. I now, as the adoptive parent, the Heavenly Father would say, I own you. I have the rights and responsibilities over you. Just follow me. I love you. I'm dad. I'm father. I want to take care of you. I want to provide for you. I want to protect you. But sometimes we might be like that child that if you ever see like Little Orphan Annie, those kind of things, right? You might sit there and be that knucklehead kid like how I think I was, where you just try to run away. Right? Anybody run? You're running away from God? And God's wanting you to just follow Him. So you had a new birth. He adopted you. A new birth certificate. And now your name is written where? Not on a physical document. In the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that awesome? Kind of like your new birth certificate. Who here loves that? Amen? Right? So you and I must learn to live and walk as God's child now, because you're no longer a slave to the law. You're no longer a slave to Satan. No longer a slave to sin. But some of you believe that and know this. Your beliefs, your doctrine, what you believe in is really important. Why? Because your doctrine, your beliefs, inform your actions. Prove that. Well, one thing in the Bible that I love to look at is when Jesus was here in the Gospels, there were two main religious political groups at His time. The Pharisees, and what was the other group? The Sadducees. The high priest at that time was a Sadducee. The Sadducees had messed up doctrine. And again, your doctrine, your beliefs, inform your actions. So the Sadducees, they did not believe in a spirit. And you just, it's like secular humanism. You die, you're dead. That's it. They know hereafter, no afterlife. They're kind of like atheists, if you think so. No spirits. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in a resurrection. So when they heard about the resurrection of Jesus, Messiah, the one they thought, it's like, we've got to get rid of this guy. The high priest was a Sadducee. How do we get rid of this guy and maintain control over the power and the power and over the people? Eradicate him. Kill him. Why? He says he's going to raise himself from the dead. Nah, nobody raises himself from the dead. So do you think any Sadducees, according to the Bible, did any Sadducees come to salvation through Jesus Christ? We don't know of any. You find one in the Bible, in the New Testament, that post-resurrection Jesus Christ that actually got saved? Let me know. I don't see it in the scriptures. Your doctrine, your beliefs inform your actions. So when Messiah Jesus resurrected from the dead, do you think Sadducees believe that? No, they're like, that's a stupid story. Get out of my face. We killed him. We threw him in the grave. Nah, the soldiers came and someone came and stole the body. That's it. It's somewhere else. Yeah, it's no longer in the tomb. Amen? Jesus rose from the grave. So your doctrine informs your actions. That's important. So if you believe in some kind of lies growing up, some pains from the past, and we don't want you to stay in the past, but you can't move forward because you're not healed. Hopefully that makes sense to someone. Get healed for the matters of the heart. And Jesus, Isaiah 61, verse 1, Jesus came to heal the broken heart. Allow him to heal, to stop the pain. Because you're no longer a slave. And he wants you to be that child. So here in chapter 4, let's get back to the scriptures here. Here in chapter 4, Paul continues to teach you and I that through Jesus Christ, you and I inherit God's promises as God's child. You're his child. He's adopted you. Think about that, guys. He's adopted you. You're his child. When God saw the time was right, he's telling us here, look at this, when the fullness, verse 4, fullness of the time had come. When God saw the time was right, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. Birth into this earth, John 1, verse 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Messiah Jesus. We beheld his glory, John writes. Jesus was born under the law. Jesus obeyed the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. And dying on the cross, Jesus became, according to the law, your sin sacrifice. Even the soldier's spear that pierced his side, what came out? Blood and water, fulfilling the law in the book of Leviticus that the sin offering, the sin sacrifice, had to have the remainder of the blood poured out at the base of the altar. Amazing how that was fulfilled in Scripture. So Jesus died as your sin sacrifice and a total fulfillment of God's law. Total. All 613 laws, commands, they're all fulfilled through Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying here, you've been adopted. You're no longer a slave according to the law. So if you try to do that one law, what was that, according to Torah, the Galatians tried to do to make themselves holy or righteous in God's sight? What was that? Circumcision. You cannot be a slave to that any longer, is what Paul's saying to the Galatians. Are you a slave or a child? But Jesus redeemed you and I, as well as the Galatians, from under the law. So that now by faith, Jesus Christ and his work to pay for our sins, as well as the Galatians, you and I have been adopted into God's family. Let that sink in. You're part of God's eternal family because of Jesus Christ. Not because of the work you can do or what you have done or what you will ever do, but because of what Jesus did. Amen? He died on the cross for your sins and mine and said, it is finished. All of the work that ever had to be done for your eternal salvation, was done by and through Jesus, Messiah. He died on the cross. It is finished. Even the Greek language, written in a way, to say that that character, that person, Jesus Messiah, who died on the cross, that work was totally done. It is finished. No longer to be revisited. He didn't die on the cross, to be continued, and then finish the work in hell. That's heresy, my friends. Jesus died at the cross. That's our namesake. Why? Because that's where God poured out his love, his grace, his mercy. Every single human being, you can find the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, was shown through Jesus Christ. Nobody could say, God, you don't love me. Oh, you've adopted me, but what have you done for me lately? Do you still love me? And I imagine my Messiah, Jesus, saying, huh? Doubting Thomas? Okay.
I don't have the scars. You and I don't, but he does. So the logic here that you and I got to see is that, hey, you're either a slave or a child. So Galatians, you're either a slave or a child. You cannot be both. You can't be both. You have to choose. And I can't make that choice for you. But Messiah Jesus came to set you free. He died on the cross and rose from the grave. He conquered sin and conquered eternal death for you forever. You cannot go back and think that you can do things in the law to make yourself accepted by God, approved by God, holy or righteous. God approves you only through Jesus Christ. Amen? Only through Jesus Christ. You can't be a slave and a child. You can't be both. So the law is going to treat you like a slave. And the problem with the law is that you can never be good enough, right? And this is the problem that I think you and I still have that's classified as under the law. You're still trying to seek approval through someone else. Maybe you're trying to seek approval through an earthly dad or earthly mom or someone else, your boss, your coworker, society. You're never going to get it, will you? Because once you achieve that, you're like, oh, there's something else. Why? Because that's how we are. So the grace of God has given you salvation. And the grace of God will also empower you for sanctification. Your walk daily with God. How do I do that? It's impossible. Exactly. That means you and I got to cry out to him. He's going to empower you through his Spirit, according to this passage. If you're his child, his son, or his daughter, through Jesus Christ, don't go back to the law, amen? And you got to cry out to him. Abba. Abba is another way to say dad or daddy. Jesus used that term of the Heavenly Father. It speaks of intimacy. Do you know that God will give you empowerment by his Spirit, where his Spirit lives within you and I, as born-again, Spirit-filled Christians, that you and I can have a soft heart, that he can come to live within you and speak to you and tell you and remind you that he loves you, that you can cry out to him, not just pray out to him. Well, I got my prayer beads. Oh, okay, one, okay, my second one. It's not a methodical thing. Sometimes you might be there and you just are going through it. You need to cry out to him. Anybody been there? I've been there plenty of times. Sometimes you don't even know what to say. My heart's so heavy, Father. And I'll think about passages like this. Daddy, can you help? I feel like crying. Because I've been there. And I know that many of you probably have as well. And he gives you his Spirit because he wants to bring you to a place of intimacy and real fellowship between him and you. But you got to, as it says in 1 John chapter 1, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, means you got to repent from the sin, repent from the darkness. It's predisposed that you have to repent from the darkness, the sin, and now you and I could stand in this holy, pure, perfect light. Why? Because I repented from the past. I'm no longer living in the darkness, in sin. And now if I walk in the light, stay in fellowship with him, right? If I walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another. It's vertical. That's not a verse that speaks about church fellowship. It's not a verse that speaks of fellowship with anybody else on this planet. We have fellowship with one another, vertically. The blood of Jesus, his son, does what? Cleanses you and I from all sin. It's in 1 John chapter 1. So the Heavenly Father adopted you, and now you're his child. And God wants to treat you like he's Father, and you're his child. You just got to kind of bathe in that, so to speak. I don't want to get all emotional and goosebumpy, but you know what I mean. He's going to, if you got God's Spirit living within you, you know what I'm talking about. If not, you're like, oh, that's weird, that's creepy. Like, you're probably not saved then. Because this is one of the passages that says his Spirit comes to live within you and brings an intimacy, a fellowship. You're going to desire to want to be closer to him. To even cry out to him, Daddy, Abba, Father. And he wants you to be brought close to him. For the born-again Christian, it's proof that you're adopted as his child. The born-again Christian has his Spirit put, he says, into your hearts. So you're going to know that God has adopted you into his family by the witness of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, verse 15 and 16. If you're taking notes, Romans 8, verse 15 and 16 says this. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The testimony that you belong to him, that he's Father, your child, is he's going to give you a soft heart, no longer a hard heart. Your heart was like that, wasn't it? Or like, no, it was worse than that. It was like a rock. Who here has had a heart like a rock or like concrete? I get like that sometimes. You know what I got to do? I tell my friends, or even my wife, I just grab my guitar and just worship him. Spend time in worship, intimacy, fellowship with him. I got to do that. I still do. So born-again Christians are going to know they're adopted by God because you're given a spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit. God himself comes to live, abide, reside, dwell within you. You're going to know. And you're not going to have to ask, am I saved? You're going to have his spirit living within you. You might doubt, but you got to seek him with that doubt. Amen? Don't let that doubt lead to the temptation that leads to despair and depression. Come to him. Cry out to him. So because God is now your adopted father, you can call him Abba, Daddy, Father. And it says cry out, doesn't it? Don't be scared to come to him and cry out. He wants you to come and talk to him in prayer. Look at this in verse 7. It says, now because of God redeeming us and adopted us, we're his children, we're his sons and daughters. And because you're his sons and daughters, you get to be, quote, an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Let's continue on here. Verse 8 and on. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you serve those by which nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. Verse 11, I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Look at this in verse 9. I looked at this and like, beggarly elements. You know when you're a slave, you're just begging, aren't you? Remember that in the world? You're kind of groveling for money or whatever it is. For me, like at times, drugs, stupid stuff, right? Give me another one. It's stupid. You're begging for stuff. But when you're his child, you're an heir. You inherit. It gives you these spiritual blessings. You're no longer a beggar. Well, but I beg God. Yeah, it's called prayer. I seek him. You don't turn again to the weak and beggarly elements. So are you a slave or a child? Don't be enslaved to the past. Don't be enslaved to the things of the law. You cannot make yourself righteous or be seen approved or perfect because of who you are or what you can do. Only because of Jesus Christ. Only by and through him, empowered by the Holy Spirit, can you be approved by God. Not because of your works. Whether it's circumcision or any of the other 613 laws. So Paul's saying, you went from a slave to a child, and you're no longer in bondage to these things in the law. So he's asking, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements? In other words, you're not a beggar. You're not a slave anymore. Now that alone might kind of help someone here to be healed. You're not a beggar anymore. You're no longer a slave. You're his son. And his daughter. The only God. I don't care what anybody else says. There is no other God. Amen? Because he tells us what happened. The only one that could tell us is someone that was there from the beginning. And he says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. So he was there. And he tells us what happened. He created. What did he create? The heavens and the earth. There is no other God. It's just all piled up as Satan or satanic trash. Doctrines of demons. Doesn't matter what those things are, those statues, Buddha, whatever those things are. Those are fake gods. They're just idols. There's only one God. So think about this. There's only one God, and he reveals himself through Jesus Messiah. And if you believe that you're a sinner and Christ Jesus is your Savior that died on the cross for your sins, you're adopted. Turn from those sins. You repented. You're adopted now. And the only God, the entire universe, the only God that ever will be, for all eternity, he's your father. You're not a beggar anymore. Let that sink in. You're no longer a slave. You're no longer to live in fear. But he wants you to just move forward, to grab his hand and move forward with him by faith through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what he wants from you and me. Why would you want to go back into bondage under the law by trying to obey the law for circumcision? Or whatever it is for you and I today. For us today, forget it, there's a lot of churches that will say, you got to be baptized in order to be saved. You got to do this work to be saved. That's just as bad as circumcision. Get them to read the book of Galatians. Like, they're not saved. If they think that I have to be water baptized, I have to do a work, a righteous work, on top of the cross of Christ, on top of the grace of God shown through Jesus Christ, that person's not born again. They're going to die and burn in hell and wonder, I thought I was saved. I've been baptized as a baby or as an adult. I'm saved. And what's worse is they're going to have their memories, and they're going to be tormented in the fire. And that's just like a jail holding them until judgment day, and then the judge is going to cast them into the lake of fire. So the burning starts there in hell, and it's going to be lasting for eternity. Think about that. And there's some churches right here in New York, the greater New York area, and around the world and around the USA, that they're preaching these kind of things. But you got to do these works in order to be saved or to maintain your salvation. Phooey. That came from the devil, the doctrine of the demons. That is not the Bible. That's not the Word of God as shown through Jesus Christ and what he's saying. So why would you want to go back into bondage under the law by trying to obey the law? He says, you need to know you're no longer under bondage by the law. You're now a child of God. You're not a beggar. You're not a slave. You're a daughter, a son. Live like that. Let's go on. Verse 12, brethren, I urge you to become like me. So Paul's saying, don't be like how you were, Galatians. Don't try to think you got to receive grace for salvation through Jesus, plus get circumcised, because I got to do something to earn it. No, Paul's saying, be like me. I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Imagine that. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Listen, sometimes this will happen to us. It happened to Jesus. Jesus came, the way, the truth, and the life. He preached truth. They loved him so much, what did they do with him? They hung him on a cross. John the Baptist came and preached truth. They loved him so much. What happened? The dude got his head chopped off. Isaiah, preaching God's word in the Old Testament. They loved him so much, they sawed him in half. I don't know if it was this way or this way. Suppose they sawed him in half. That happened with all the prophets. That happened with the apostles. John's the only one that didn't get martyred of the 12 apostles. So do you think when you are preaching truth, just like Paul to the Galatians, do you think when you're preaching truth, telling them, hey, salvation is through Jesus, and now you want to correct them so you can help direct them. That's the Holy Spirit's job through you. Sometimes people will hate you because you're telling them truth. If it happened to Jesus, it happened to the apostles, it happened to the Old Testament prophets, is it going to happen to you and me? Yeah, it's going to happen. So don't be surprised if that happens. It can happen. It can happen to us. You're telling desperate people something they want to hear. Salvation, oh, salivating. Yes, I need to be saved. And now you're telling them, you know, you can't take drugs anymore. What do you mean? God made the plants. Anybody talk with relatives? I have a sister. That's like, oh, Jill, if you're ever watching, oh, I love you. Please turn to Jesus. Yeah, sometimes you'll talk with people, but why can't we smoke it? God made the plants, right? Okay, if you believe in God, you believe he made everything, then you got to believe the rest of the Bible, too. All right. So sometimes you're trying to disciple someone. It didn't happen just with Jesus and just with the Old Testament prophets. It also happened with the apostles. It also happened with Paul. It also happens with you. It also happens with me. Okay. It'll happen. Just know that. Verse 17 and on, it says, they zealously court you, the false teachers, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. Notice, for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you." So Paul's saying he has, quote, doubts about you, about them, because he preached a gospel of grace to them, but some of them started off by getting saved through grace, but now they're trying to complete their walk, their life, through the flesh. In the next chapter, we're going to get one of the best chapters in the entire Bible of that story, or that fighting between flesh and spirit. You cannot start off by getting saved by grace and then finish your walk through the flesh. We'll get into that, God willing, in chapter 5. But let's continue on here. Verse 21, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written," listen to this, "that Abraham had two sons." Who were those sons? Isaac and Ishmael. Good. Had two sons. The one by the bondwoman, that's Ishmael, bondwoman. Think of that, bondage, legalism. The other by a free woman. Okay, that child is Isaac. But he who was of the bondwoman, Ishmael, was born according to the flesh. Ishmael was a picture of the old covenant, the flesh, the law. And he had the free woman through promise. Isaac was a child of promise. He speaks of the new covenant. That's the lineage whereby which the Messiah came. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to Messiah Jesus, to you and me. Not Abraham, Ishmael. That's a different lineage. That's the old covenant. And that's really the whole world apart from Jesus Christ. So Ishmael is the slave versus Isaac the child. Verse 24, which things are symbolic? So now you, if you're wondering, is this symbolic? Yeah, he actually tells you this is symbolism here. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, that speaks of the Old Testament, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. All right, there's a lot of things we could say about this, but the main things I wanted to pull out of this is that the symbolism that he wanted them to see, and God wants you and I to see also. Ishmael, the symbol of living under the law. He's a symbol of bondage, a symbol of a slave. Ishmael symbolizes the old covenant. Everybody that's trying to live apart from Jesus Christ, that's Ishmael. Don't go back to bondage. Okay? Isaac is a symbol of living under the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's either under the law or under the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac's a symbol of freedom, a symbol of being the father's child. Remember how he tells him? God tells Abraham, take now your son, your only son whom you love. But he had two sons at that time. Ishmael was older. But the father in heaven saw Isaac, the promised child, as your only son, Abraham's son. That was the promised child. Just like Messiah Jesus. And just like you and I, the father doesn't see everybody as child. I don't care the whole world, kumbaya, they could sing all that stuff. Everybody's his child. No, they're not. Through Messiah Jesus, you become a child of the Heavenly Father. But you and I are born in a sinful, fallen world, born into sin, your identity is sin, and all you can do is sin. That sinner can just sin. That's their identity. But through Christ Jesus, you have a new life, a new identity. Amen? Through Jesus Christ. So Isaac symbolizes the new covenant, New Testament living. Let's finish out the chapter. But again, maybe God's wanting some of you to be prayed for. I want to love you and pray for you, that you could live, not just believing in your head and read it in a book, but that maybe he's got to heal the heart here of someone. My guess is it's a bunch of you. Verse 27. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, and as Isaac was, are children of promise. Now wait a minute. Is he talking about just the Israelites? Who's he writing to? The Galatians. And the issue is circumcision. These were not Hebrews, Israelites. They were not Jews. The Gentile region. Okay? So we brethren, we Gentiles, you're like me, I'm a Japanese-ish Gentile. Okay, so we're grafted into this root. You and I, Jews and Gentiles, are one in Messiah Jesus. Amen? This speaks of you and I, not just the Galatians. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, listen to this, Galatians 4, verse 29, even so it is now. Guys, do the Jews today, Israel even as a nation, do they still have problem with Ishmael? Yeah, isn't that interesting? This whole war that's going on right now, USA versus Iran, it's bigger than that. And just know this, no matter where you are politically, believe in Biden, Trump, Obama, who cares? The bigger issue is, what does God say in the Bible, amen? We're never going to eradicate Iran. Iran's an end times player. We are not in the United States. We may be the big kid on the scene right now politically, internationally, but we're never going to eradicate them. So I'm never sitting there listening to news like, yeah, get them, destroy everything, nuke them. Oh, wait a second. We're not going to totally eradicate them. Persia or Iran, you go and read the book of Ezekiel, they are there in the end time scenario. That war has never happened. And God's word stands forever, amen? So that will happen in the future. So while the Jews, the Israelites today, still have an issue with Ishmael and their lineage, I love this, it says, even so it is now. That's still applicable today in 2026, isn't it? Let's continue on and close. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Hey, through Christ Jesus, he has set you free. You're a child of promise. Here's what happened in Genesis 21, verse 10. Sarah saw Ishmael scoffing. Ishmael was mocking when, quote, Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. So that child was old enough, got past the point of, hey, that child's going to survive. They're weaned off from mom. And so it was a big thing back then, that culture, we believe that. Wow, the child's going to make it. Let's throw a party. Because a lot of kids died back then. Think about that. They didn't have hospitals and technology like we do now. So they offered a great feast. And here you got the older son of Abraham, Ishmael, scoffing. So after Sarah saw that, and by the way, Ishmael is probably jealous. Maybe because Ishmael, think about this today, guys. Even what's happening with the war against Israel, and even how sadly American Christians are against Israel. Don't be that way, okay? Read your Bible and apply the Bible, please. It still happens today. But maybe Ishmael was no longer the main object of Abraham's affection. He now turns his affection to Isaac. You see the symbolism? The Heavenly Father turns his affection to who? You and me. And others are jealous. Can we just say that? That could be the reality. The others might see the Spirit of God upon and flow through you, and they're, say, you might say, street level, jelly. They're jealous. That might be the reality. You might go through hate in your family, hate by your coworkers, neighbors, or other Christians, because they see God using your life. In ministry, you know that happens. It can happen. And I would sit there, I was kind of like during the headlights, nah, that can't be. But yeah, it can happen. And that might happen. So Sarah told Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. So just like you and I are to turn away from living under the bondage of the law, we also are to live like a child of promise. The slave, like Ishmael, the slave's not an heir any longer. Think about that. The slave is no longer an heir. The father cut off inheritance. You see the symbolism in the picture? That's what he's saying, that he's tapping into. We're kind of a Bible-less society in America, but back then they would have known these pictures, these stories, better than us today. So like Ishmael was not an heir of the father's inheritance. Ishmael and the followers of Ishmael today, the whole world outside of Jesus Christ, they're not an heir of eternal life either, are they? to the Heavenly Father, but you and I are. The father Abraham cast him away. So the Heavenly Father is also going to be in the end times casting off every single human being that does not have faith in Jesus Christ. Know that. That lineage that led from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob and eventually to Jesus being Messiah through Jesus Christ. Now you and I are to live, not just salvation, but day by day, your sanctification, to live as a child of God, no longer a slave. Amen? Let's all stand, please. We're going to close with a word of prayer. But maybe you need prayer for God's healing. Susan, can we get set up for time of close in worship? We're going to close with prayer to close out this time for the teaching. But maybe there's someone here that wants prayer. Maybe you need prayer for God's healing from a life of things like legalism, so that you would stop living and acting like a slave, but just to know that you're his child, you're his daughter, you're his son. That you would start living like you're the Heavenly Father's child. If that's you, as we pray here, I'm going to close in prayer, but as we transition to a time of worship, if that's any of you and you want prayer, I'm going to ask you to simply come down here up front and we can pray for you. I believe that's probably someone here. And we could pray for you here. So as we get set up for that time, some of you might want to worship. Some of you might want to be prayed for. And some of you might want to also pray for others. That's okay too. We want to be the body of Christ. We didn't go to church. We need to be the church. Amen? Okay? And that's where we need to encourage each other and pray for one another here. Let's go ahead and pray. And then we'll start up here. So, Father in heaven, oh, Lord, we thank you that we can call you Father. We can cry out to you and say, Abba, Father, you're our daddy. Help us. We know that as a father, just like earthly fathers, you are the provider. You're the protector. You're also the one that's going to liberate us through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. You're going to send your Spirit, the helper, the comforter, because we need your comforting. You tell us that you are the God of all comfort. And we're told by your scriptures, in Isaiah 61, Jesus, you came to heal the brokenhearted. And while maybe you're not physically here in person in the way that we wish it was like 2,000 years ago when you walked the planet, you're here through the body of Christ. You live within us, and you want to minister to your bride. You want to beautify your bride. You want to build her up. You want her to remember your sacrifice for the sons and daughters here. Help us to remember your love for us. Empower us mightily. Help us, Father, send your Spirit and equip us that we can be your church here, ministering, encouraging one another. Bring a heart healing here. Do that heart surgery if you have to before we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.